The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O God.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. You call me so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet, for I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Science fiction author Isaac Asimov writes in his 1957 book, The Naked Sun, about the fictional planet Solaria. The 20,000 people on the planet are rigidly controlled. Robots outnumber humans 10,000 to 1. People are taught from birth to avoid personal contact, living either on huge estates by themselves or with only their spouse. All possible communication is done through holograms. Even unavoidable face-to-face conversations are considered dirty. The idea of breathing another's air is considered physically disgusting. Asimov hit upon many truths in his book 1984. Has he done the same with this book? Granted, the 21st century United States isn't exactly Asimov's planet Solaria, but are we too being pulled away from each other? Is there less and less personal contact? I was at a local restaurant the other day, and I couldn't help but notice what's called a Ziosk on every table. It looks like a large cell phone or an iPad on a stand. We're supposed to use them to place dessert orders or to pay our bills. We can even catch up on the news or play games right at the table. The company's vision for a Ziosk is to, quote, encourage fun and interaction over a shared meal. Instead, watch what's actually happening sometime. We've decreased our human interaction with the servers, and kids are sitting and playing games by themselves. We all know the importance of human touch and interaction. We've read the scientific studies about premature infants and the need for babies to be held and loved. We know that solitary confinement for prison inmates breaks them, both mentally and physically. We treasure nursing assistants who provide care for patients through their physical, loving touch. No matter how old we are, how young we are, we need human touch. It helps us feel connected, valued, and especially loved. Jesus calls us today to touch one another. Specifically, Jesus calls us to wash the feet of one another. Every year around Maundy Thursday, congregations have the conversation. It's the same conversation Peter had with Jesus. Really? You want to wash my feet? Many congregations don't even bring up the subject anymore, having already ruled out foot washing due to bunions and claw toes, athlete's foot, and ingrown toenails. Yet Jesus stoops down, literally stoops down to our level, reaches out, and washes our feet. Jesus touches us physically, but even more importantly, through his touch, Jesus shows us a deep and abiding love. Pastor Jim Somerville tells a story about a conference he attended many years ago. He was talking with a very well-respected pastor who happened to look down and notice that Pastor Jim's shoe was untied. Without missing a beat, this man dropped to one knee to tie Pastor Jim's shoe. When he stood up again, he resumed the conversation as if nothing had happened. Maybe this is why that pastor is so well respected. Maybe this is why Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not be afraid to stoop down and humbly serve one another. It is no more than I have done for you." Today is Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, meaning command or mandate. Jesus gives us a new command tonight to love one another as I have loved you. At the end of worship tonight, members of the altar guild will clear away the cross, the chalice and the paten, the Bible, the candles, and the paraments from our sanctuary. The pure white linens will be folded and removed. The brass that is so shiny we have to wear gloves will be taken away. The altar will be stripped bare. This isn't how we like to see the altar, empty, cracks exposed, bare, unadorned. It makes us uncomfortable. It can even be hard to look at. So we will darken the lights tonight and leave the sanctuary in silence. Jesus takes off his tunic to kneel at the disciples' feet. Jesus' body is stripped to hang on the cross. I will take off my socks and my shoes tonight, bare, vulnerable, exposed. But Jesus loves us as we are. Even when we have lost our health, our finances, the people we love, our jobs, our dreams, even our joy, even when we are stripped bare, when it feels like there is nothing left, when we are exposed, it is the love of Jesus which remains. It's a love so deep that it's willing to be stripped down and hung on the cross. Jesus tells us, love one another as I have loved you. It's not easy. There is nothing simple for us about loving one another, especially when the other one has bunions and hammer toes, when they don't think, act, or love like us, when they've hurt us, when they have broken us. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. No qualifications, no ifs, ands, or buts, no restrictions. Love one another. Do we even know how to do this? Do we even know how to wash another's feet? Okay, so perhaps not the literal foot washing part, but do we literally know how to love one another? For the past two summers, I've had the pleasure of serving as a staff member for a camp called Affirm, as have Terry and Tim. We gather for a week on the campus of the University of West Alabama with about 200 middle and high school youth, including David, wherever David is, from Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia. Each year, the youth learn how to care for each other. They learn how to love each other. On Monday, the staff members wash each other's hands during worship. On Tuesday, the staff wash the hands of the youth. On Wednesday, the staff wash each other's feet. On Thursday, the staff wash the feet of the youth. Finally, on Friday during worship, the youth wash each other's feet. It's a really powerful moment, have no doubt. But just as powerful is watching the youth learn to love and to care for each other. In their vulnerability, with their feet bare, they learn and practice to love each other as Jesus loves them. Jesus tells the disciples that when he's gone, they must love one another so that they will know and feel his presence. They're commanded to do the same. But we can't love one another like those on Asimov's planet Solaria. There's no community there. We need to be side by side, supporting each other through thick and thin. We can't love each other with a Ziosk on our restaurant table. Instead, we need to look into each other's eyes and see each other and see the one who is invisible. The youth at Affirm couldn't truly love each other until they learned how to do it one step at a time. It can take small steps for us to learn how to love one another, and sometimes that first step is the hardest. Sometimes that first step is for us to bend at the feet of another. Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him.